someone with whom to share them. Pray for someone with whom to share them. That's as biblical as it can be. The Apostle Paul did it, that doors would be opened. There's also a tract in the rack back there by Allen Webster called What Must I Do to Be Saved? It's a very good, brief statement of what a person needs to do in order to go to heaven. It outlines the plan of salvation in a biblical way. There's also a book that I know the church here purchased many of a while back, and many people have. I saw a few in the office the other day, so I took the liberty of setting some more out. And I noticed that a couple are already gone, which is good. Why I Am a Member of the Church of Christ. Several lessons by Leroy Brownlow with the appropriate scripture references. This might help someone to understand, might help us to refresh our memories so that we can have it fresh in our minds as we talk with people. Also, we have a slew of tracts back there on different subjects, not relating directly to salvation, but that have things to do with our walk with God. One of them that I find intriguing, although I haven't read it all the way through, but I'm confident of the author and the publishing company, is from Apologetics Press called Ideas Have Consequences. One of the headlines will get you in it. Adolf Hitler was a militant evolutionist. It was evolution was the idea behind what Adolf Hitler did. Those are some good tracks, and there are many others back there of which you might afford yourselves. In my Hebrews class, I have the students required on the honor system to do something that some of you might find a little bit odd. Each week for 9 of the 10 weeks, I think it's maybe 8 of the 10, I forget, but each week for the first several weeks of class, they're required as part of their homework to sit down and read the book of Hebrews all the way through without getting up, one sitting. Now, if they have to get up to use the restroom, come right back to it. That's fine. But I don't want them reading chapters 1 through 4 and come back the next day and reading 5 through 12, 5 through 13. No, I want them to read it all the way through at one sitting. The reason for that is simple. New Testament letters, the epistles like that, were generally meant to be read to the church in one church service. The Apostle Paul wrote an epistle to the Romans. They would have received it. They would have read it to the congregation as they sat. Sometimes our minute study of chapters and verses, although it is good, makes us forget the original intent. We've been studying and picking apart, verse by verse, the Sermon on the Mount. I don't want to try to pretend to be Jesus. I would never do such a thing. But tonight's lesson is to try to simply give you an idea of how it would have been first presented. You would have to imagine yourself sitting on a mountain, or coming to Jesus as he sat on a mountain. He would have been sitting to give this lesson. He would have been sitting, possibly cross-legged, and his disciples would come to him. Perhaps then he would start to speak, and you'd think, well, they couldn't hear him. But remember, in a society like that, there was no power plant, there were no automobiles, there was not even the hum of electricity. And when people got quiet to listen, they knew how to get quiet to listen. The acoustics of a mountainside, well placed, could cause somebody's voice to be heard for quite some distance away. So, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit records, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but set it on a lampstand that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is better for you, more profitable for you, that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall ye swear by your head, for ye cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said to those of old, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, give to him your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, you shall not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we put on? For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, and do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door shall be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I do that, God knows my heart, not to show off, but to show what can be done. People might say that memorizing scripture is outside of their purview. It's just not something that I do. Especially young children I've seen beat that time and time again. I've seen the young children who are given some sort of award for memorizing 100 verses of scripture in a year. And some of them get 10 awards because they memorized 1,000 verses of scripture. When my children were 11 and 8 years old, listen folks, I did a lot of wrong things as a parent. A lot of things I regret as a parent, but we did one thing right together. And Marcia did about everything right. But when my kids were 11 and 8 years old respectively, they recited to me the Sermon on the Mount with a couple of prompts here and there. You guys can do it. You can understand. And more than that, you should do it. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. The sins, the distractions that are around us will overwhelm us if we don't know God's word and don't know it well. If we don't know God's word well, no matter how many hours
our bottoms sit on pews in church, if you'll forgive me. If we don't know God's word well, Satan will get us. Our Lord himself came down from heaven to earth and was tempted by the devil. And how did he beat the devil's temptations? He knew the scriptures that had to deal with the temptations. Each time he said, "It is written." And he'd quote Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. "It is written." And he'd quote Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "It is written." And he'd quote Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. Even if you think you can't, you can. The human brains were all made the same. And those of us who are a little bit older, I'm always challenged. I get to pitying myself a little bit, and I think, well, I should have memorized more as a kid. I tell you what, if I could just have back the TV hours where I memorized the TV guide and every episode of Happy Days and every episode of the Brady Bunch, I'd have the whole book memorized right now. And when I have a test on Happy Days and the Brady Bunch at Judgment Day, wait a minute, I won't, will I? I really won't, will I? And we really won't have tests on video games and other things like that at Judgment Day. But when I get to the point that I think I just can't do it, I'm reminded of my friends in Florida. I think I've told you about them before, forgive me. The husband who's been paralyzed for about 10 years, who sits and reads his Bible. And I'll call every once in a while and ask what's going on, and sometimes I'll get an answer like this. Well, Ralph just quoted to me the first 5 chapters of John. It can be done. It's a matter of where the heart is. It's a matter of where the eye is. It's a matter of what a person chooses to do. And it used to be done a lot more than it's done today. At J.W. McGarvey's College of the Bible, I believe it was, I was reading in Restoration History, the teachers used to take roll something like this. "Brother so-and-so, you start quoting at Romans chapter 6, verse 1, and quote till I stop you." About halfway through the chapter, he'd stop him and say, "Brother so-and-so, pick up where he left off and quote till I stop you." They could do it because they cared and because they didn't have the distractions. By the light of the candle, after a hard day of plowing and mending fences or making garments, they sat down and they read the greatest stories of all time to each other, and they learned them and they loved them. But even in the churches of Christ today, we get a little bit too busy. And that means that we're not building our foundation upon the rock. To build our foundation on the rock, we have to do, well, what God says. And the only thing we know about what God says is what he's given to us in his word. Now you think about that. Somebody asked me one time, why couldn't God just boil it down to a little bit of a, you know, a 10 set of rules for us or something like that? I didn't think of it at the time, but somebody told me a good answer later. He said, that person wouldn't want that. That person wouldn't want just a good set of rules from God. By the way, the people that asked me that eventually left the church. They wouldn't want just a good set of rules because at a time when their heart is broken and they need help, they don't want just a rule. There are rules, don't get me wrong. They don't want just a rule. They want to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They want to be able to quote the Psalms. They want to be able to think of the scripture. They want to be able to know the things that can be known. Brethren and friends, families, work on the Bible together. Sit down an hour, an evening with your children and study the book together. Learn where things are together. Do it. Why aren't we converting more people to Christ? Maybe it's because we don't know how to talk about Christ. Maybe it's because we know some basic things. How many people have been in the church 30 years and can't give me the verses for the plan of salvation? I hope I'm not being too offensive, but sometimes we need our hearts pricked, don't we? I haven't been studying like I should. And you know, I'll go ahead and say this, although it really downgrades me. If I lived 100 years ago, I wouldn't know enough scripture to be a preacher. Maybe if I lived 50 years ago, I wouldn't have known enough scripture to be a preacher. But in our society, I'm not insulting you. You're one of the best congregations I know for Bible study. But in our society, I can be a preacher. I hope you take that the way that it's intended. We've got to get back to the book, the time that we're known as walking Bibles, the times that we knew a whole lot more about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than we did NCIS and Jeopardy, and trivial facts about which nobody cares and about which we won't be judged. Because someday we'll all stand before Christ in judgment. It's been said that the Sermon on the Mount is an introduction to Christianity. I suppose that's fair. There are so many principles there of letting your heart be what it ought to be in the sight of God and letting the actions then flow outward from that, not being hypocrites. So many things that are said there that need to be applied to every person. It's an introduction to the Christian life. It's a good place to start. Granted, you may not want to start memorizing in the book of Leviticus. Start at those places that give you something on which to hold for the Christian life. The Christian life is more than the Sermon on the Mount. It's an introduction. The Christian life tells us about that Savior who spoke those words, either in Greek or Aramaic, on that day, on that mountain. The Bible tells us about his descent from his glorious abode in heaven, how he, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It tells us of his hideous death, his burial, his glorious resurrection, and his subsequent ascension to heaven, where he ever sits at the right hand of God to make intercession for those who will come to him. It tells us how he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody can come to the Father except through him, John 14, verse 6. It tells us how he has the words of everlasting life. We need to remind ourselves that we will die, and we will be judged by the words that he's given us in these last days. He told us what to do. He told us to give ourselves to him, beginning with a repentance from sin, confession of faith in him, and baptism for the remission of sins. And if stumbling, then with repentance and prayer. And in the meantime, trying to become as much like God through knowing his revelation as we possibly can, so that we have the holiness that is needed, Hebrews 12, verse 14, to be able to see the Lord. Thank you for your patience tonight. If we could help you, would you please come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you?